Let's ask God's blessing on his word. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the truth, the wonderful truth, that we are alive with Christ. As we look at your word, may it encourage us, may it lead us to worship, may it help us to really understand and appreciate what it means to be in Christ this morning. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Being unchosen was my school life experience. I know there's no such word as unchosen, but I'm still going to use it. Maybe some of you may know that feeling, maybe some of you may not. But it's lunchtime, and a game of football is announced. The two coolest kids in school are chosen as captains. The rest of us stand against a wall waiting for our name to be called out. Which captain will choose me, I wonder? As you stand there waiting, as name after name is called out until there are two left, and you are one of them. One of the captains chooses the other guy, and now you stand alone, knowing that you have not been chosen, but that the captain and his team will simply have to have you. They've got no choice. And yes, they do look disappointed. What do you have to offer? You're not a sporty kid. Can you even kick the ball in the right direction? Being unchosen can be a humiliating experience. And being unchosen can occur in many other areas of our life. Applying for a job. Going for job after job after job and finding out that someone else was actually chosen. Sometimes, not always, being single, you can feel the pressure of being unchosen as siblings and friends marry around you and you feel that no one's going to pick you. One thing that all these situations have in common is that the chosen ones are chosen normally because of some skill or ability or qualification or personality or beauty. In a world where there is no reason for, we live in a world where there is a reason for someone being chosen for a position or for a relationship. Praise God, that is not the case with God. God's choice of a people in Christ was due to his gracious and loving character. And as we will see, being chosen in Christ leads us to worship God. We've seen over the last two Sundays that the Lord Jesus in the Gospel of John established the truth that he would be in his people and his people would be in him. As the branch takes its life and its fruitfulness from the vine, so being in Christ through the Spirit and by faith becomes our life and produces our fruitfulness. In Romans we saw that we were baptized into his death, we were buried with him, and we've been raised with him to live a new life. Paul points to our baptism as when that occurred, because in the apostolic church, when you were converted, you were baptized. If you remember the Ethiopian eunuch, when he saw the water, he said to Philip, "Is there any reason why I can't be baptized?" And he was baptized straight away. The truth of being in Christ or with Christ means that what is true of Christ is true of his people. In the book of Acts, as Paul was going to Damascus, he had an encounter with Jesus. And what did Jesus say to Paul or to Saul? He says, "Saul, why do you persecute me?" Not my church, not my people, but me. His people being his body means if you persecute them, you are persecuting Jesus, who's the head. So beware, nations of the world, as you persecute Jesus' body. Now, we need to understand that God's plan of salvation was not a knee-jerk reaction to the sin of Adam and Eve, but a plan that was from eternity. And this plan has always and will always be centered in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we, his people, were chosen in him from before the creation of the world. And being chosen in Christ should lead us not to debate and arguments, but should lead us to worship, should lead us to praise for God's mercy and God's grace to us in Christ Jesus. Now, if you want to turn to me to chapter 1 of Ephesians, we're going to have a look at some of those particular verses, particularly in the section verses 3 to 14. Paul wants to lead us to praise God as we contemplate all the blessings that we have received through Jesus Christ. Look at verse 3 of chapter 1. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. It's a very big verse. But you might think, what's the heavenly realm? Well, that's the spiritual realm where Christ is exalted and where we are, as you'll see, seated in Christ. It is a place where God's revelation of wisdom is displayed to the spiritual opposition. All this comes out of the book of Ephesians. If you go to chapter 3, verse 10, we read, His intent was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. There is a spiritual reality. That's where the evil forces do battle against God's people. Going to Ephesians 6:12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. There's a spiritual reality to what Paul is saying here. The heavenly reality is the spiritual reality where believers have a share and where evil forces still seek to undermine God's plan. So the heavenly realm, that is where we receive all the blessings. But what are these blessings? They're not spiritual gifts. Let's put that to one side. They are all the benefits that we receive by being in Christ through the Spirit, coming to us all because of Jesus' birth, death, resurrection, and ascension. All the spiritual blessings that come to God's people come to us because of Christ. And all the blessings that are ours, they're given to us in Christ, even before the world was created. Notice in verse 4 that he chose us not because of anything in us, but because of Christ. Look at verse 4. For he chose us in him, that is in Christ. So for he, God, chose us in Christ before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. So what's one of the blessings? What's the first blessing? The first blessing is that we have been chosen to be part of God's people in Christ from eternity. Now that just blows your brain for a moment, doesn't it? It's incredible. God chose us to be part of his people in Christ, reminding us that God's plan is centered in Christ, is sort of worked out because of Christ. But what is this purpose? What's the purpose of God's choice of us as his people in Christ? Well, so that would be holy and blameless in his sight. So the idea of our being chosen has a goal, holiness, being blameless. And that's a choice that we make every day to live that out. But what this passage teaches us is that God took the initiative before the creation of the world to draw a people to himself in and through his Son, the Lord Jesus. Look at verse 4 and 5 again. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us for adoption to sons through Jesus Christ. What are we to do with these truths? We're to debate them, argue over them? No, we're supposed to marvel at them, be amazed at them. I know a lot of people get unsettled when they read about God's choosing, God's election, God's predestination. But may I encourage you to understand as you look at this passage that election and predestination are expressions of God's glorious grace to us in Christ. So God's election and predestination of us are an expression of God's glorious grace, God's love, God's mercy, God's kindness to us in Christ. Look at verse 6. To the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given to us in the one he loves. And that's the goal. Everything's of grace. It's not about intelligence, body shape, beauty, talent. It's about grace. And we're going to be praising God for his grace for the rest of eternity. Paul, in writing to the Ephesians, is not writing for a theological debate. He wants to lead them and us to worship the God who out of his grace chose us before the foundation of the world in Jesus Christ. We are to marvel at God's grace and we are to be humbled by it. But there's more amazing blessings that we have been given in and through Christ. We've been adopted into God's family through Jesus Christ. Look at verse 5. In love he predestined us for adoption to sonship. through Jesus Christ. We have become part of God's family. It's wonderful to be loved. It's wonderful to be chosen as being, I mean, most people are born to their family. But to have someone actually choose to adopt another child, that child should realize the privilege that they've been given to be chosen, to be loved. But there's even more. We've been redeemed through his blood. We've been forgiven all our sins. God's grace has lavishly been poured out upon us. We've come to understand that God will one day unify all things in heaven and on earth in Christ. It's amazing blessings. And all those should shape the way that we live and the choices we make. And all of this is because of God's grace and God's love towards us in Christ. Just look at verse 11. In him we were chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works everything in conformity with his will, in order that we will be the first, so that we'll be the first to put our hope in Christ and might be for the praise of his glory. We are, for the rest of eternity, trophies of God's grace, praising his grace and his mercy and his kindness to us. All the benefits that come to us through the Spirit are ours because we are in Christ. If you are not in Christ, you've not been chosen, not been predestined, you've not been adopted, you've not been forgiven. You don't have the Spirit. You must be in Christ. But when did this happen? If we go back to eternity where God chose us, when did this become a reality in your life and my life? It was when we heard the gospel. When we responded to the gospel. Look at verse 13 of chapter 1. And you were also included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked with him with a seal, the promise, Holy Spirit. It's the gospel that God uses, the preaching of the gospel, the sharing of the gospel, that God's choice of us in eternity becomes a reality in your life and my life here. So that's a question. Have you responded to the gospel? Have you embraced the Lord Jesus as Lord and Savior? Do you acknowledge that he has come, that he's died, that he's risen again, that he's ascended, that he sits at the right hand of God, that he's going to return, and that this whole world is going to be transformed by God's grace? Do you live in light of that truth? Are you still under King Sin, or are you under King Jesus? Going back to last week. And of course, all this comes about, as we saw back in John chapters 14 to 17, through the power of the Spirit. Look back again to the verse 13. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of salvation, when you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promise of the Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance unto the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. It's all through the Spirit that we are incorporated into Christ, that we are in Christ with Christ. Again, the wonderful thing about all this is that God's choice of us as his people in Christ was not based on some skill or ability or qualification or personality or beauty. You were not the last one standing against the wall. It's not that God had no choice but allow you to join his team. I've got him now. No. God's choice was based on his character. It was out of his love. It was out of his grace. It was out of his mercy in and through Christ. This should lead us to humility, to thankfulness, and to praise. Just go back to verse 3 again. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realm with every spiritual blessing in Christ. That's where Paul is leading, to praise God. Or in the Greek, you know that I'm not a Greek scholar, but you know, it's a simple thing to do. It should be, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realm with every spiritual blessing in him. It's an overabundance of blessing. God blesses us, we bless God back. We do it every morning on a Sunday morning, but we do it every day as God's people also. But there's more. We look back and I marvel that God has chosen us and adopted us and forgiven us in Christ. But we also have a future that we can look forward to in Christ. In some ways, Paul is going to say we are already sharing in that victory, in that rule of Christ, which is hard to imagine, but he's going to tell us that we are seated in Christ in the heavenly realms. And that's in chapter 2 of Ephesians. Now, once I was a moderator of a church here in Canberra, a church that has a little bit of a reputation of being somehow the main Presbyterian church in Canberra. No names, of course. Now, being moderator, for those who don't know what a moderator is when a minister of one church sort of moves away and another minister is sort of told to look after this church. So it's the minister you have when you don't have a minister, a Clayton's minister. Now, with this particular congregation, with its particular position, came some particular privileges. And one was an invitation to the Prime Minister's Australia Day afternoon tea at Parliament House. There we were, all dressed up, walking into the Prime Minister's private area, showed our invitation. Yep, you can go through. And there we were, amidst all the important people. There were dignitaries and diplomats and us. And did we feel out of place? Yep, we did. Absolutely. All the important people that we spoke to were polite, but they didn't have much time for a minister of the gospel. That was just not going to cut it. I'm not that important. Got no clout in anybody. It was an interesting experience, but we really didn't belong there. And situations like that can make you feel awkward. But imagine that you are a Christian in the first century, under the rule of the Roman Empire, under a Roman emperor called Nero. How would you feel? Small, insignificant, unimportant. And yet the Apostle Paul seeks to encourage the Ephesian believers and us by reminding them of a number of things. One, that they have become alive with Christ, showing the before and after. Once you were spiritually dead, you were under the control of the devil. You were ruled by sinful desires. Look at verses 1 to 3 of chapter 2. As for you, you were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest of us, we were by nature deserving of wrath. Wow, there's the before. We're spiritually dead, under control of the devil, ruled by our sinful desires. But what happened? God steps in. And by the gospel brings us from death to life, as he says in verses 4 and 5. But, you've got to love the word but in the Bible. It's very helpful, very encouraging. But, because of what? God's great love. Notice, we've got grace and mercy, love. But because of his great love to us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. What Paul is saying is, no, you know, it's pretty amazing you've gone from death to life, but that also means that you've gone from one empire to another empire, from the kingdom of Satan to the kingdom of Christ. You're not under Satan or sin any longer, you're under King Jesus. You live a totally different life because of what's happened with Christ. But Paul says it's even more than that. Not only have you been brought from death to life, which is pretty amazing, but you've actually been raised with Christ and you sit with Christ in the heavenly realm. And that's amazing. That's incredible. I want to remind you that what is true of Christ is true of his people. That's what it means to be in Christ and with Christ. It's not that this is just imagine it. It's not just it's a hypothetical, it's a reality. In being seated with Christ, we share in Christ's victory over the powers of evil, over the ruler of this world, and over this world. Yes, I know it doesn't look like it, but that's the reality, the spiritual reality, which is reality. And that's also our future. If we sit with Christ, then we will be with Christ. And Paul brings this out. I'm just going to look at a passage from Colossians. Colossians 3, 1 to 4 says this. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. That's where you are, Paul says. Think about what Christ has done, what Christ is doing. Don't think about the Roman Empire or Nero. And what is God's purpose in doing all this? Well, if you go back to Ephesians 2 in verse 7, we're told, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. We become the trophies, we become the display of God's grace and God's kindness in Christ. For the rest of eternity, we'll be praising God for his grace towards us. That's what we're going to be doing for the rest of eternity. And it's not going to be boring trying to dive into the depths of God's grace and mercy in Christ will take an eternity to appreciate. Once again, the truth of being in Christ and with Christ should always lead us to praise, to worship, and also to holiness. Because back in Colossians, after Paul tells them they've been raised with Christ and setting their hearts on things above, he says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desire, greed, which is idolatry. So you see, all the blessings that we've been given in Christ, being chosen and forgiven, being raised with Christ, seated with Christ, leads to praise, leads to worship, and leads to holiness. And of course, worship is not just coming together on the Lord's Day, but living a life of obedience, living a life that wants to display that holiness that we're being called to, that proclaims to the world that Christ has come, Christ has died, Christ has risen, and that we are alive with Christ, and we're praising God for his grace towards us in Christ. You see, that small, insignificant church in the first century, Paul gives them a big vision of who they are in the midst of a huge empire. Let's just jump to the 21st century. You know that I've been praying through the Open Doors and Others prayer booklet. If you look at all the countries where God's people are oppressed and imprisoned and persecuted and killed, I read after read, they've got no power. They've got no say. But Paul says, you were chosen from all eternity in Christ. Paul says you've been adopted. You've been raised with Christ. You're seated with Christ. You've already won. No matter what it looks like, Christ has won. And in him we've won. And we just have to be patient. So what? That you will never be invited to the Prime Minister's Australia Day function. Who cares? So what? We're not important or worth knowing in the eyes of the world. What God has done for us in Christ is something that we will be praising and thanking God for the rest of eternity. Knowing this glorious truth, Christian, should encourage you and empower you to live for Christ and because of Christ and enable you to say no to sin. You have been chosen by God to be part of his people because of his grace. You have been raised with Christ to a new life because of his grace. You have been adopted into God's family because of God's grace. You have come to know and understand God's plan for this world in Christ because of his grace. You are now seated with Christ in the heavenly realms and you share in his victory over the powers of evil because of his grace. You get the message? That's why Paul says you have been saved by grace through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. May each and every one of us know all the blessings that we have and will have because of being in Christ. May the truth that what is true of Christ is true of his people encourage you in your walk with Christ and sustain you to the end. God has done immeasurably more than we can ever ask or imagine for us in Christ. One goal of this very short series, I really hope that as you read your New Testament, you are going to stop for a moment when you come across that phrase, in Christ or with Christ, that you're not going to just skip over it. You're actually going to take a few more minutes to dwell upon what that means. May you stop. May you thank and praise God for what he's done, for what he is doing and for what he will do for you because of what it means to be in Christ. It's a privilege beyond what we can ever imagine and a truth that can sustain us in the darkest of times. I want to end simply reading verse 3 of chapter 1. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what can we say? You are an amazing God. Of God is such enormous generosity. You lavish upon us grace and mercy in Christ. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your amazing love, for going to the cross for your people. We pray, Lord, that as we reflected on these last three Sundays about what it means to be in Christ and with Christ, we pray that we may hold on to these truths, that they will become our identity, that in them that we will live out what it means to be your people. So we thank you for this truth, and we pray that you'll bless this truth to our hearts, our minds, and our lives. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.